It's good to be with you all on the Lord's Day. Hope that you've had an enjoyable week. Hope that you've been stretched in your faith and challenged to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus this week. I certainly appreciate you gathering with us on the Lord's Day to worship Jesus, to hear the gospel proclaimed to us, to commune with one another at His table, and to be sent out on mission with Jesus into our community. Our scripture reading for the sermon today will come from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 20 to 36. Hear the word of the Lord. Now many among those who went up to worship at the feast were Greeks. These came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." And Jesus answered, "The voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man will be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtakes you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." The word of the Lord. May God bless the reading, the preaching, and the hearing of His word, and may He grant us the grace to turn from ourselves and to trust in the Savior. Now, for those of you who might be keeping score, you probably know that today is Palm Sunday on the Christian calendar. Lent, otherwise known as the season of fasting and prayer, is quickly coming to an end. And the Holy Week is just beginning. Easter will start next Sunday, and the Easter season will run all the way to the end of May when Pentecost begins. But today is Palm Sunday. It is the first day in the week leading up to the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it was on this day that Jesus ascended up to Jerusalem, riding on the back of a donkey. A crowd of worshipers gathered along the road to welcome Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. Some in the crowd had either seen Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, a local man from the dead, or they just heard about it. But everyone who saw or heard about that miracle, that sign, determined that Jesus was the one true King of the Jews. So it was on that day and in that moment that the crowd took palm branches from the trees and they lined the road to welcome Jesus into the city. And they welcomed him with loud cheers, singing the Psalms, Psalm 118. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. And so while the crowds were cheering, critics were grumbling and complaining. The critics knew that despite their many efforts to rid Jesus, or to rid the earth of Jesus, the whole world seemed to be going after him. And so they felt that their efforts to rid the world of Jesus were wasted and vain. It was even noted that some Greeks came to see Jesus. So not just the Jews, but also Greeks wanted to see Jesus. So it was on that day, and it was in that moment, while the crowds are cheering, and the critics are grumbling, and the Greeks are seeking, and the palm branches are waving, that Jesus makes a surprising declaration. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. The crowd must have thought in that moment, yes, that's what we're doing. We are glorifying the Son of Man. And yet, Jesus was not seeking that form of glory. He was not seeking glory by songs of praise. He had in mind a different kind of glory. He had in mind the glory that comes from the Father. The glory that comes from the Father by sending Him to the cross. The hour had come. The hour for which He was chosen. The hour for which He was called. The hour for which He was consecrated. The hour for which He was commissioned. The hour had come. The hour about which he had dreamed and perhaps even dreaded all of his life had come at last. The hour of his death on the cross. The hour of the destruction of his enemy. The hour of his conquering death and sin. The hour of the deliverance of his people. This was the hour of glory by shame. The hour of power by weakness. Victory by defeat. Now Jesus knew the doctrine. Unless a seed fall to the earth and dies, it abides by itself alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He was not simply stating an agricultural fact. He was stating a theological truth. He knew the discipline. Whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. This was not some psychobabble doublespeak. Jesus was speaking a fact of Spirit-filled discipleship. Jesus knew the drill. When I am lifted up from the earth, suspended on the cross between heaven and hell, I will draw all to myself. This was not a revolutionary fantasy. It is a redemptive reality. Jesus identifies himself as a seed that falls into the earth, into the cracks of the world for sinners like you and me. I want us to take some time this morning to explore what it meant for Jesus to be the seed that falls to the earth to die. Throughout Scripture, the language of seed is used. And what we learn from Jesus is that Jesus is the seed. He is the holy seed sent to the earth to die for sinners. But this language of seed starts all the way back at the beginning. Jesus was the seed promised by God in the Garden of Eden when God said, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall crush your head and you shall bruise his heel. He was the seed promised by God in the land of Canaan when God said, I will give to you and to your seed after you the land of your sojourning, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession. I will be their God. Jesus was the seed predicted by God through the prophets who said, the holy seed is in its stump, and there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or no majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. Jesus was the seed planted by God in the midst of a volatile world. Thus says the Lord God, I will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel will I plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. Jesus was the seed planted by God in the midst of a virgin's womb. The Holy Spirit came upon the Virgin Mary, and the power of the Most High overshadowed her, and she conceived and bore a son. And what was the one God seeking when He gave the Virgin Mary a portion of His Spirit? He was seeking godly seed. And at the end of 8 days, when He was marked with the sign of the covenant, He was called Jesus. He was called the Savior of His people. Jesus was the seed provided by God in the person and work of His Son. The promises were made to Abraham and to his seed. But the apostle explains, it's not to many seeds, but to one seed, referring to Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, if you are of Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Jesus was the seed protected by God like a tender plant, like a shoot from a stump, like a tree planted by streams of water. Jesus is the holy seed that fell to the earth to die. On Palm Sunday, while the crowds cheered and the critics jeered, Jesus made a shocking declaration. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Why did he say this? John explains that he said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. But you notice in the story that just one mention of the cross, just one reference to the cross, one clouded mention of death, and the crowd is stunned. The enthusiasm fades. The cheers die down. The palm branches cease to wave. One mention of the cross and political hopes are shattered. Revolutionary zeal is quenched. The man they believe to be the one true king of Israel believes that he will be crucified in the near future by the Romans. He will be lifted up. The man they believe to be the king expects that he will be crucified as an enemy of the Roman state. The crowds understand what lifted up means. And so they turn to Jesus and say, now wait just a minute. We've heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? They understood what lifted up meant. They knew that it meant crucified. And they knew that crucified meant cursed. And they knew that cursed meant condemned. They found the idea of the cross to be repulsive, scandalous. And like them, we think of the cross in much the same way. The cross is a buzzkill. It's a downer. The cross is a coat of shame, a death machine. The cross is a scandal. The crowds are cheering, they're celebrating, there's a party going on because the king is coming into Jerusalem. And yet the king looks at everyone and says, this will end in death. Jesus says the cross is salvation, a suspension bridge between heaven and hell. The cross is a stairway between life and death. It's an altar of sacrifice and service. If anyone serves me, he must follow me all the way to the cross. And where I am, there will my servant also be, at the cross. And if anyone serves me, the Father will honor him at the cross. The sacrifice is his, but the service is yours. So when Jesus predicts his death by crucifixion, when he mentions being lifted up and drawing all men to himself, he is forecasting a storm that is on the horizon. A storm that will blow a seed into the ground. A seed that will die. A seed that will die or remain by itself alone. But if it dies in the near future, within the next few days, it will bear much fruit. Jesus identifies himself as the holy seed prepared by God to destroy the serpent and his evil works, to deliver sinners from all their faults and their fears, to demonstrate the amazing love of God for the world. And this is how God loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The cross is God's Pinterest board, and the only thing God has ever pinned on it is his Son, Jesus Christ. He's pinned on the board, on the cross, for the sins of the world, to ransom a people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Jews and Greeks, men and women, adults and children, wise and foolish, rich and poor, young and old, red and yellow, black and white. Jesus was the holy seed that fell to the earth to die, lest he remain by himself alone, the one and only holy seed. And yet the crowds protest, and we protest, and we resist, and like them, we shy away from the cross. We run to the Bible much like they did to talk about a health and wealth gospel and how there should be no tragedy and all things should be happy and there should be no pain, there should only be pleasure. And why is Jesus robbing our joy by bringing up the cross? We have heard from the Bible, book, chapter, and verse, that the Christ remains forever. So how in the world can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up on the cross? And while they're trying to rope Jesus into a deep theological discussion, into a sword drill, and let's fight your verses against our verses, Jesus simply answers, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." And when Jesus said these things, he departed and hid himself from the crowds. The hour has come to ask some very important questions. Lord, who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe Jesus is the Savior of the world? Do you believe Jesus is the seed that fell into the earth and died for you? If so, you shall be saved. But if not, why not? If you're not willing or not able to believe, let's ask God to give you a new heart and a new spirit so that you may turn and trust Him and so be saved. Otherwise, you will be condemned and perish in your sins in darkness. Today is Palm Sunday, the first day in the week leading up to the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And today we set before you life and death, and we urge you, we plead with you, with all of our hearts, to choose life that you may live. For some of us, this is Holy Week, a special time of the year when we're able to pause and reflect on the final days of Jesus Christ. But for Jesus Christ, this is Hell Week, the final days of His life, as He rushes headlong into the hour for which He was called, to fulfill the purpose that God laid before Him, as He rushes headlong into the cross to suffer God's wrath for the sins of the world. It's Palm Sunday, the first day in the week leading up to the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. The first day in a week that ends in a day that changes the world forever. Let us pray. O Sovereign Lord, in your word you say, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land." In your word you say, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." We confess that our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand the heart? Yet you, O Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. You, O Lord, are the hope of your covenant people. All who forsake you shall be put to shame. Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth, for they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. Heal us, O Lord, and we shall be healed. Save us, and we shall be saved. For you are our praise. All this we ask for the glory of Christ and the good of His church. Amen.